All right, Jeff, a little thin over here, but I will try to make a contribution.
The question on our outro. So, yeah, we just had to wait for the whole outro because you pushed the wrong button. We had to. So that outro, does that play that long every time, I guess? 3-4 minutes every time. So when,
well, we faded out.
I never listened to the end of our.
You don't know how any of this works, Jeff.
I just never listened to the very end of our tail end of our podcast.
No, I faded, faded out. I mean, I wouldn't let. I don't really run the whole 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay, all right. I just. Anyway,
do I have to carry this whole thing? I mean,
welcome everyone to the Fields Brothers Show podcast. My name is Jeff Fields. I am here with my brother Roger, coming to you from Central Kentucky. Beautiful this time of year with the colors of fall and the leaves changing and all that. We are both former full time pastors, and long time ago, both voluntarily chose a different direction. So no scandals. No big bad horror stories. So if you try,
there's
to
nothing Google, that's come out yet.
if you try to Google this, you might be disappointed. There might not be much to find in terms of scandals and that type of thing. But we very much enjoy getting together and kind of acting like we're talking about sitting at Cracker Barrel. I wasn't going to bring this up, but Cracker Barrel, I see, has a new loyalty program or something. Is that new?
Yeah, that is new. Yeah,
have you signed up for that?
We just did. Yeah,
okay, I probably will. But anyway, before I forget. I'm going to show you a picture here of a meme.
Speaking of Cracker Barrel, I do have a little story I can now reveal. I can now talk about. I couldn't talk about it.
I saw the picture. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that here in a second. But I'll tell you, we'll go ahead and talk about that.
Good. Well, I was sworn to secrecy, but since it's no longer an issue, three oldest girls took me to, took Lori and I to Cracker Barrel for my birthday. And so that would have been Tara and Micah and Shannon. And so they had a table, and when they got there first, we sat down, and then Lori wanted to take their picture, and they were just all grinning. I mean, it was just a really kind of, they just, you could tell something was kind of up as they kind of split apart. And
I'm learning some about this. I only knew half the story.
There's lots of story. And so Lori takes his picture, and they're kind of, they said, look at the picture, like the, a good picture. I'm like, yeah, it's a good picture. They look at it, picture closely. Well, when they took the picture, instinctively, Micah and Shannon just kind of split apart, so that they revealed the picture on the wall. Yeah. And they had taken the old American Gothic picture, and Tara had superimposed mine and Lori's faces in the face of the American Gothic, and they framed it in an old frame and had tied it to the wall. I mean, you know.
We talked about that a few months ago, about doing that at a Cracker Barrel, having a picture taken.
Well, and anyway.
Is that where they got the idea? One of them hear our podcast and remember that idea?
I don't know where they got the idea. I mean, Lori and I talked about this years ago, but we never did. But so anyway, it was funny. Of course, we didn't want to say anything because we didn't want to give anybody a heads up and tip off Cracker Barrel and all. And so, well, like the next day, I got a message from somebody I didn't even know. Said, "Hey, did you like leave something over here at Cracker Barrel?" And I just kind of played dumb. I said, "Well, what do you mean? You know?"
Oh, the call was from Cracker Barrel?
No. It was a text from somebody who I don't know. Just somebody who I guess knew me, but went to Cracker Barrel and just messaged me and said, "Hey." Okay. And so we went back a couple of days ago, Lord, and it's gone. And so we asked that we have a server over there we use a lot. And she says, "Yeah, that happens every now and then." So they just throw them away when they find them. They just, if you put your own picture up at Cracker Barrel, they do not appreciate that, apparently. And so Shannon, who's an attorney, assured us that it's not illegal to give somebody something. So there was no law breaking going on. But anyway, it was really funny, and it meant a lot to me. I thought it was a very sweet
thing. So evidently, we're not that doing that idea. A lot of people have had that idea.
Yeah, we're not the first ones who've ever had that idea. They told me that sometimes when they do it, there's a certain place on the wall they like to put it, apparently. Just, I don't know why that place, but ours was in a different place.
I had
place,
seen the picture, but I didn't know that that the girls had done that without you knowing it. I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah, no, we didn't know anything about
there.
It. So.
I'm going to show you this meme, and there's been different words, so don't even bother reading the words on this first. I'll tell you the words, but just the picture. Have you seen that meme out on Facebook, any of those two guys? Or do you recognize those two guys?
Yeah, they're the pawn guys,
I don't know much about them, but...
Yeah, they do a store. People bring stuff. I've seen the show a couple of times. It's a pretty interesting show.
So what's the name of the show, or so people...
I think it's called The Pawn Stars or something
So you got these two guys behind the counter. Have you seen any of these memes on Facebook lately?
No, I haven't seen that one. No.
So this one says, the Christians say, quote, "Preach some good news." And the preacher says, so it's these two guys behind the counter, kind of like, you know, trying to make a deal here and all this. He said, "Best I can do is law and lifelong indwelling sin." And the expressions of the face. And there's some other ones, too. It's kind of like, you know, Jesus preached, you know, Jesus said, "Share the good news." Well, best I can do is, and just the looks on these guys' faces. Yeah. That is really funny.
That's kind of funny.
One of the little funny story, personal. a grandson story. We don't do this too often, but
and I'm a new grandfather too.
Congratulations on that little
girl.
My youngest daughter
Morgan had a little girl named Mariah, who's now about a week and a half old, I guess.
Well, our youngest grandson recently had gone to the restroom, and one of the parents, I think it was our daughter-in-law, knows he'd been in there for a while, and kind of went to check on him, and said, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm okay." And she said, "Where's your shirt?" And he said, "It's in the toilet." So she goes looking around the toilet. She says, "Where's your shirt?" He said, "In the toilet." And he had flushed the shirt down the, a little t-shirt or whatever. He had flushed the shirt down the toilet.
That's not good.
And but it's still flushed and all that. So, well, okay. But then a day or two later, they had a very noticeable plumbing bill that they had to pay to him.
Oh, wow.
There. So kid just flushed the, so I don't want to, I don't want to embarrass Jonathan by mentioning names, but it was,
Why would he do that? Oh, his youngest son did just
Jonathan's
for fun.
Youngest son. It's those secondborns you have to watch out for. It's his secondborn son, so. Were you aware? I probably told you this, but so Monty is the second, Jonathan's second born.
Okay.
Jonathan is my second born son.
Yeah.
I'm the second born son. Uh-huh. Our dad was the second born son.
So poor Monty doesn't
Monty
have a chance,
is a fourth
does he?
Generation second born son.
And wow, that's kind of like, yeah.
So he's not old enough to understand that now, but someday he will. But anyway, so we love the little fella, and he's our youngest. He's number 10, so he will be 3 this coming December. So, got another quote for you here. It's a guy named Greg Henry, who's a good friend of Phelan Daughtry. So got a retreat coming up this week, right after this podcast comes out.
Go ahead and give the pitch for the retreat. Tell them how many people are coming.
Fields Brothers Retreat, Seymour, Tennessee. Email me if you want more information. There's no cost, but you're on your own for food and housing. Tuesday evening through November 7th through Thursday morning, November 9th. Just casual conversation led by Phelan. And Roger is saying he may make an appearance as well. So let me know.
The good news is there's no cost. The bad news is we're not going to feed you.
Right. And so. I had to break the news that one of our ones that I had to, that was really generally, he was generally looking for a guy I've met before, a good guy, listens to our podcast. But he had some real good reasons that he couldn't come. So, but I told him that, you realize that deposit is non-refundable. And so first I had to break the news.
Zero deposit.
It's not coming back.
We're keeping a hold of that. Yeah.
So email me if you want information on that. So from the time this podcast comes out, it is 2 days away.
And your email address is?
Jeff@thefieldsbrothers.com.
All right.
So anyway, Greg Henry is a pastor in Louisiana, I believe. I don't really know him much at all, but he said this. I think you'll like this. He says, "I don't preach the gospel because of some supposed great commission. I preach the gospel because my heart has been arrested by the love of God for all people, and I want them to experience the height, the width, the breadth, and the depth of God's love for them in the deepest part of their being." Then he says this. You like it so far?
Yeah, I do like that quote.
Then he says, evangelism is not intended to be born from a commandment, but from a heart persuaded of God's love for the world. People can tell," and this is the last sentence, "people can tell if we are trying to convert them because of an order or if we actually love their lives." Isn't that good?
Yeah, that is good. Uh-huh.
I mean, how much of our lives early on, the whole thing of evangelism, and we've got more to talk about evangelism here, but the whole thing of evangelism was all about fulfilling a command. This is what you should be doing type of thing.
Yep.
And because, I think if we were honest, even though we all said it was good news, we weren't all excited about that.
No.
I mean.
There was a lot more bad than there was good.
Yeah.
It
was kind of mixed at best.
Yeah, there was just an overwhelming obligation, to go into all the world. How does that work? Or do we just support somebody else who's going into all the world and then preach the gospel to everyone?
You get away from some guilt that way. You donate to the missionaries or somebody else's program.
I'm not going to all the world, Jeff, but I'll pay you to go do it, and then I'll feel good about it.
Our podcast does
good.
Go all over the world here.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. When good news, nobody has to tell you to share it.
Yeah.
It's an old story. I probably told this podcast, but it's been a few years ago, and I don't know why this always sticks with me, but Teresa and I hadn't been married that long. We were visiting mom and dad back in our old neighborhood, and I stopped by a gas station to get gas, and I saw all these people. And while I'm pumping gas, everybody coming out of the store is carrying 2 2-liters of soft drinks. You remember me telling this before?
No, I vaguely do. And I don't remember.
Everybody's coming out. And yeah. So I think, why are all these people, everybody that's coming out of the store has 2 bottles of 2 liters, you know, two liters. And so I go in, this before we could just swipe and pay at the pump. You know, it's been a while. So I go inside to pay and learn that they're selling pop for, it was like 29 cents for a 2 liter. And name brand pop.
Limit two.
And that's back. Yeah, it was limit two. And that's, you know, and they sold then. Pop used to sell for more. You know, used to more sell, you know, kind of went down. Now it's come back up lately. But that's when it was going for like $1.29 or something a bottle. They were selling them for 29 cents. So guess what I did?
You bought two and you told a bunch of people. And then
I got back to mom or whoever. I tell them, do you know that, you know, so I mean, I was telling others about this, you know. And so when you know good news, you just want to tell people.
Yeah, let me take it a step further.
Okay.
All right. Not only, you got my wheels turning. Here's what's gotten me in kind of in trouble is that, you know, it's not that I feel an obligation, but particularly when the conversation goes in a certain direction, lends itself to that. I like to share, you know, that Jesus paid the full price. And sometimes, matter of fact, oftentimes, that offends Christians.
Yeah.
And I get in trouble because, oh, yeah, you know, it's like, so you just believe in the, so then you get all the, you know, you can just live however you want. And you're soft on sin. It's like, no, I'm just really big on the gospel. Yeah. And sometimes I'm in situations where I'm saying to myself, Roger, just shut up. I don't want this controversy right now. I don't want to be disruptive. And most of the time I fail and I have to say something. And it's not like I feel obligated to. It's not like God has forced me to. It's like I just can't take it. I can't take hearing a discussion of your relationship with God, discussion of whether it's salvation, discussion of the church or whatever, where it just doesn't include the fact this whole thing has been paid for. Mm-hmm. And it's something we receive by faith, just by grace. We don't do anything to change it, to add to it. But it's just amazing how that just does not go over in a lot of Christian circles.
It's really, it's a lot easier to share the gospel in non-Christian circles than in Christian circles.
Oh, yeah, they're not offended by it. They may not agree with it, but they're not offended by it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier to tell the gospel to just some run-of-the-mill pagan that doesn't believe anything than it is that someone's going to be arguing doctrinally on you. You know?
I really thought about this, too. You just brought this up. I literally, in certain situations, before I go in, I say to myself, Roger, just don't say anything. Just shut up. Just everybody just say some things. And I just don't want to be I'm not in the mood to be disruptive. I don't want to be, you know, and usually it doesn't work.
This brings up a good topic then. So beyond evangelism type of thing, how do we influence others or how do we share with others? So here we're not talking about evangelism in this sake and all this, but I've got a few thoughts on this because I've actually thought about this recently. The idea that, you know, God works from the inside out. And I saw just this morning, quote on Facebook, the column on Facebook was talking about, you know, religious pressure. And a lot of us in the gray circles talk about religious pressure, but the world has its own kinds of legalistic pressures, you know, take Christian stuff aside, but
what do you mean? Okay. Back up. We have pressure. What do you mean?
So, you know, obviously we know about, religious type of legalism, you know, the pressure that comes from that. Well, the world has its own type of non-religious pressure, you know, the whole, I don't want to get into political stuff, but the whole woke agenda or other stuff, you know, kind of like pressured. If you don't believe like us, there's pressure that you have to believe like this and you have to change your life, do all this, that type of thing. So, and both of those are similar in that the pressure comes from the outside. And a lot of times, you know, so they have that in common. You know, both the religion and the non-religious world try to bring about change from outside pressure to force you to act a certain way and to try to change your heart. And it really struck me that, you know, the gospel works from the inside out. And it made me think of Romans 12, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be what?
Transformed
by the renewing. And so the transformation comes by from the
mercies
inside
of
out.
God. It starts off.
And of course, on the basis of everything before that. But it's, you know, that transformation is the idea of the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. You know, it's that DNA is already inside the caterpillar, and the transformation happens from the inside out.
Right.
So I got some other thoughts, but go ahead then.
Well, Okay, this is related, but still separate than from what you're talking about too. But going back to evangelism, see, here's let me tell you the problem. This is the problem. When you talk to a Christian about salvation, and you can say all you want about Jesus paid the full price, is by grace, and they can be the biggest legalistic person in the world, and they will still agree with you. Yeah. Because they're just mixing it up anyway. They don't mind mixing your grace with their legalism. They have zero problem with that. So my way, then, the only way that I'm aware of, other than just God just supernaturally reveals it to them, which is probably the better way, but my only way I know to do is to say something about what they believe that's legalistic, but I apply it to myself, not to them. So, for instance, here's what I would do, and this gets me in trouble, but it makes the point. If they say, for instance, if they're all about, well, we got to follow Jesus. Now, I don't say to them, well, now, that's not what it says on this side of the cross, and I don't go through all that right there. I just say, well, I'm just not going to do it. And they just, what? It's like, so when I don't buy into their legalism side, that really throws them for a loop. You know, if they're going to talk about Ten Commandments, well, I'm not really going to follow the Ten Commandments. Yeah. You know, I'm not.
You kind of drop a little bomb in the conversation.
Well, it's not a bomb, but it's the best way to kind of reorient the conversation so it just doesn't become just another mix of law and grace.
Yeah.
And so they want to talk about the Sermon on the Mount. Fine, I'm really not interested in what the Sermon on the Mount says. Because, you know, they say, what? Well, it wasn't said to me. It was said to Jews to get them out of legalism, realize that all their good works couldn't bring them to a good point. That's why at the end everything crashes, and I'm just not going to do it. Yeah. And so that can get you into a conversation. But for me, just to talk about the grace of God, they're just, because they're so good at mixing grace and law. If you just give them a whole much more grace, they'll mix it right in with their law, zero problem. Mm-hmm.
Is where I find myself thinking just this morning is that if we think, okay, and if I'm talking to somebody, whether it's one-on-one conversation or in a group or on Facebook or whatever, if I remember, okay, God works from the inside, to resist the temptation to try to use my intellects and my argument to change their thinking from the outside.
Right.
But realize, okay, they have the Spirit of God within them. They have Christ within them. And so if I speak truth, it's kind of like, I know nothing but Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah.
When we share the gospel, when we share who Christ is and what He's done, then I'm trusting that something happens in their heart.
Yeah.
You know, that the Spirit takes that heart and turns the light switch on from the inside.
And I do agree with that. There is, you know, Paul said he contends for the faith. Mm-hmm. So there is a point where I do like to say, but I couch it in this light. This is what works for me. This is what I believe. This is what I'm not. Now I'm going to try to make you believe the way I do. And that's the approach I take. Well, I'm not interested in discipleship.
In the same way that invites people into a space.
Yeah.
Type of thing, which is really what Jesus did.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of, it's amazing how, you know, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. You know, he didn't say, you know, there are other times there were commands, but a lot of times he would just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He was weird, you know.
I do believe you create a vacuum and let them decide to fill the vacuum. But to me, it's easier or more effective to tackle their legalism sometimes than it is to just add more grace to their legalism.
Part of what my thinking on this, I'm trying to come up with a post for Facebook, but I'm rewriting it and editing and all this stuff. It takes me a long time to write something, or a full blown post for Facebook. But the idea that, and something else I read kind of triggered this, that I think for us in our life in Christ, we've not focused enough on the relationship between Jesus the Son and God the Father. That we make it all about my relationship with God. Well, we're in Christ, and Christ is our life. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we kind of forget about ourselves to some extent, now I'm not saying we're oblivious to what we're doing, I'm not saying that, but that the focus is the relationship that the Son has with the Father. Think about the Gospel of John. This really struck me a few weeks ago when I was preparing a message for it. You know, John tells us point blank specifically why he wrote what he wrote. He says in chapter 21, verse 31, I write these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing have life in his name. So he says, that is why I wrote this. So that's kind of, you know, that's pretty much an evangelistic, I'm writing this so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing have life in his name. So how does he start the Gospel of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he starts out talking about the relationship between Jesus, and the Father, and mentions the Holy Spirit in chapter 1. And then I read where the word Father, God is referred to as Father over 100 times in the Gospel of John, 48 times just in the upper room teaching alone. And so when you focus on Jesus' relationship with the Father, and we're in him, and I mean, that's what the gospel is all about, that relationship is now our relationship. Reminds me of what you mentioned just a few weeks ago about the covenant being between
right.
God.
That really changes, I think, changes people's thinking when you say, yeah. God didn't have a covenant with you anyway. He had a covenant with Jesus.
And that's what
you
I'm saying with this.
You just happen to be in Christ. It's almost like, maybe this is a bad analogy, it'll fall apart, but it's almost like being on a cruise ship. Well, you know, the captain's on the cruise ship. He's the one who has a relationship with the ship. He's going to steer the ship. I'm just on board.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just fortunate to be on board with this thing.
I mean, it's all in Christ. And John,
I'm not controlling where the ship goes. I'm not doing anything here. I'm just on board.
It kind of struck me that John, in this evangelistic book, I write these things so that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing have life in his name. He doesn't drag the reader into a courtroom right off the bat like we do, you know, and try to get us convinced of our guilt. He introduces us to the Father's home. He introduces us to the Father and the Son. And then that in Matthew, now it refers briefly to around the time of the baptism of John, or baptism of Jesus in John's gospel, but doesn't give some of the details. And like Matthew has the thing of, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And that really struck me a few years ago. And so as we think about the Father and the Son and how pleased the Father is with the Son, and just, so I would encourage listeners sometime this week, just give more thought to just the relationship between the Father and the Son, God the Father and God the Son, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that incredible trust, that incredible love, totally other focused, because that's your relationship. That's our relationship with the Father as well, because we're in Christ and all that. So, you know, I think, and that's sharing the gospel, and that's what John was doing with that.
Right. See, you agree with this. I was going to, you know, I think one of our problems is we've made the gospel a package. It's not a package. It's a very simple understanding of a statement of what God has done for us through Jesus. It's very pointed. It's very specific. And so we've made a package of, you know, you got to, you know, the institution, you got to be involved with the institutional church in a certain way. You have to have a certain moral structure. You have to have a certain worldview. You have to have a certain doctrinal perspective on, you know, we've made it so that people have to agree with a whole array of things to really be in.
Yeah.
Like, you're really not in unless you have these views on all of these subjects. And it's not that all these subjects are irrelevant. It's not that they're all wrong. It's just that we have so muddied the water by making this thing more, you know, involved. You know, there again, the best way I know to say it, we've made a package. It's not a package. If somebody believes that Jesus, you know, is their Lord and Savior, you know, they're my brother in Christ, and they can be messed up on a whole lot of things.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, because we've been messed up in a lot of things.
For sure.
You know, and probably still are, and just don't realize it yet.
But I think when I hear a lot of, you know, and again, on social media, people try to explain a lot of things about what they believe about Christianity, it always comes out to be this big package of things, you know, and everybody's got a different package. And it's not about that.
And I've just found freedom in trusting the Holy Spirit within another person's heart to illumine. You know, we've talked before about that verse in 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit, as I go about, teaches us the things freely given to us by God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Peter's confession, you know, Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you.
Honestly, don't you feel like there's some people that you've talked to, you think they're never going to get it? You don't ever think that? Have you been on? Oh, I don't think they're ever going to get it.
I honestly, yes, I'm still there. So I'm not, but,
so it's not like I'm this great. It's not like I'm this great spiritual giant, great man of faith. Where I just have great faith in every single person I talk to. Boy, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal this to them. Sometimes I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know if they're ever.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. If I had to be honest, I'd say yes. There's some lad.
Well, if you don't have to be honest, we would appreciate it. But no, you didn't get.
Well, I thought I had to be. Okay. In that case, then, no, I never think about that. But I think about, I'm sure there's areas in my life that I'm still blind to, and realities glories that I'm blind to. Yeah. And so, all the, I do. Yeah, Roger, I do think a lot. Sometimes I feel like, no,
man, I know,
Roger
is me.
Never going to get this.
I know. Hey, there's sometimes I think Roger's never going to come around and going to get something. So it's not.
You like this little analogy? I read this. You know, we talk about seeing. You know, we've talked about seeing the gospel through the lens of the cross, or the lens of this, or the lens of that, or what type of glasses. I saw someone talked about dollar store theology. You know, you can get glasses at the dollar store, but they're probably not going to be the best. It's probably really not going to help you see all. I mean, now, you get readers and all this.
Okay, and you're talking to somebody who right now is wearing glasses that I got from Sam's. So okay, that's only a notch or two above dollar store, isn't it? I mean,
well, they have an optometrist there, I guess. We do have a listener who's an optometrist, I think.
Yeah, this is.
But the general point here, boy, you're getting legalistic on this. But you get the idea of dollar store theology, you know, where you're looking at the work of Christ through a cheap pair of glasses. You're not looking at. You're not looking at God or yourself through the lens of the cross and through the lens of fatherhood, that he's your father. So, you know, might want to watch out for dollar store theology there type of thing. So.
All right. Well, I like it.
So next podcast, Lord willing, we will have Balaam Daughtry as a guest on this. And really looking forward to that, our time with him.
I think he is great. He's just a very, you know, it's not even... doesn't just say he's a really good teacher, a great teacher. He's just a very relatable and fresh thinker when it comes to a lot of stuff. I mean,
one of the things I'm interested in, and I probably won't bring this up on the podcast, but in personal conversations, I'm interested to hear his perspective because he's removed from Western evangelical community and all this.
Well, it's our job to drag him into this. Then that's what I say.
Because I don't think we realize, we here in America realize how much our form of Christianity is quite a bit different than a lot of forms of genuine Christianity around the world and in history. So I'd be interested in his angle on
that. It'll be a lot of fun.